Hi, guys. Hold on. Let's see. Let's get this a little closer. How does that sound? Good? Yep. All right. So the alternate introduction was I always get up here and I have no idea what I'm going to say. So I am equally in this ride with you guys. But I did look up what I was supposed to be speaking on about 20 minutes ago. And I guess we're going to talk a little bit about the history of the Free State Project, where we've been, where we're going. I like, and I think I've used the phrase, we're at the end of the beginning, right? 20 years is a long time. I have to tell you guys, I'm not a joiner. I'm pretty sure everyone in this room is not a joiner, because I tried to get you to join my lists. And I can't believe I've been doing this one thing for 20 years. This Porkfest has been here for 20 years. That is incredible, but we are also, thank you, we are also just at the beginning of what we can and will accomplish. The Free State Project, for maybe the one person who doesn't know, was formed in 2001 by an essay by Jason Sorens, who is on the campsite, and if you can catch some of his talks, please go do that. He's doing a lot of really interesting work at the moment on zoning, and in fact, they just unveiled a zoning guide through St. Anselm's, which is one of our private Catholic schools in Manchester. And it is so granular and so well researched that you can put in an address and it'll tell you the exact tax rate for that place. Amongst other things, when I was playing around with this tool, I discovered that there were more than 10 districts or areas in New Hampshire that don't have zoning at all. I had always thought it was just the Grafton area and that there were maybe one or two, but there are more than that. And I'm mentioning that because I want everyone mindfully while we're here this week to think about where the opportunities lie. I have a lot of ideas and I'm going to tell you a lot about them, about where I think the future is going, but it's really, really material to this movement of humans doing their own actions to figure out where that you're going and then make sure you go there. And by way of example, I don't know why, but you know, I'm a diplomat's brat from South Africa, and I grew up, my bonding with my father was JFK's assassination, because that was his conspiracy theory. And I think every generation has a conspiracy theory, and it's usually sort of a gateway drug into this notion that, holy, is there a group of people who are lying to us for financial gain? Yeah, actually, it turns out there is. So this is going to be one of those talks. Why am I talking about JFK? I decided I wanted to manifest a Kennedy in my life. And you know what? That's what we did this morning. You know, love him, hate him, be skeptical, I don't really care. My mission with the Free State Project and my actual job is to make sure that more people know about the movement. So while some people might look at what happened today and they're mad because, oh, a politician came to Porkfest, I look at it and I go, I got a lot of free earned media with all of these backdrops telling people to wonder who are these people in the mountains, right? So the essay kicked it off. In the essay, in the original wording, it did actually talk about New Hampshire threatening to secede in order to get what we want. So that was in the original essay. About a week later, that part was taken out. It was never a suggestion straight up that that would be the way that it would happen, but it was something that candidly attracted me to the movement. So the essay was written, and then in 2003, we had the 10 states, and then we decided to take the vote. The states that were chosen were mostly, you know, places where libertarians and liberty lovers would feel at home, so places that have good gun rights, low taxes, small population, good lifestyle, and There's not even enough I can say about the quality of living in New Hampshire. This is a really, really, really great, beautiful place to live that has a lot of water. And that seems important in a zombie apocalypse, so. So we 2003, and they actually held the first Pork Fest, which we colloquially call Pork Fest Zero, and that was held here. And then a former board member, Michelle Dumas, actually wrote a 101 Reasons, which then started the whole movement to attract people to come to New Hampshire. So folks voted, and then they picked New Hampshire, and then we started this beautiful thing. So I moved in 2008, and I'm just gonna run briefly through some of the things I've done. While I'm talking about myself, I would like you guys to start to think about yourselves. So I'm trying this new thing out. First of all, I'm really trying to live a more holistic life, right? So I'm trying to be like super in balance. I drink so much water. I smoke a lot of weed. No, I'm kidding. I don't smoke that much weed, but I do use it medicinally. But holistically, because I think, you know, Dennis Pratt, who's one of our wonderful volunteers, you know, he's done some speeches here over the years. He's produced this glorious event that we're at, and wisely has said he's not doing it next year. I understand. But you know, he always says, be the hero of your own story. I think about it in a very similar way, but I've actually started to wonder if we shouldn't be looking at how to gamify your life, right? So when I was doing the interviews this morning with NBC and some of the people afterwards, they were very intrigued with this notion of, oh, you know, they were like, you're a Republican, but you say you're a libertarian, but now you're gonna support a Democrat. Like, what's going on, right? Like, I could just tell their paradigms were like, well, we don't understand this. And I said, well, you know, I think we're in a post-political party world, because it seemed like the thing I should say at the time. And then I was like, oh, that actually sounds kind of smart. And that might actually be a really interesting way to frame the discussion. So we're sort of in a post-political party, because then you've taken the power away from the parties. And really what we're seeing now is they're fighting for the scraps, right? Like they're almost a uniparty. And the reason I bring it up is because for years now, I've been seeing if you seed things into the world, can you actually like make it happen, right? So once you start thinking very actively about, you know, where you want to go, which sounds woo, but it's actually just a woo way of explaining goal setting. Right? Like, I mean, I goal set at home when I used to be a corporate lawyer, and I'd be like, what's my 6 months plan? What's my 1 year plan? What's my 2 year plan? What's my 5 year plan? Everyone's plan should include when you're moving to New Hampshire. So that should be on your list, and that should be a goal that you're putting in your mind and that you're working towards, because it's not an insignificant ask. You know, you're literally, you know, for years I've been joking, it's like, it's harder than selling timeshare. And it's like, timeshare where it snows. But it's worth it. So, you know, set that intention and start to think about how you're going to come do this. So when I look at how I'm sort of gamifying my life, it's a half joke, right? You know, I've always said, oh, I'm building a crypto monarchy, right? The Queen Quill thing is sort of morphing into, I mean, I might have brought a crown, I'm not gonna lie. And I might wear it at Soapbox Idol, we'll see how it goes. But, you know, it's a playful, let's think about the crown as sort of Vermin Supreme's boot, right? It serves a purpose. Because sometimes you can say things when people aren't sure, is she joking? Is she serious? Is she crazy? Is she brilliant? No one knows, we'll see. So my 10-year plan is starting to look like this. I'm like, how do I build a country? Now, here's a little secret. I don't play video games. I've never played a video game. It is much to my husband's shame or horror or something. And the one time he tried to help me, my dude just kept running into the wall and we gave up on it. I was just like, this is not for me. So it is kind of comical that I am thinking about how we gamify our lives. But this 10-year plan for me, I would imagine for many of you who are gamers, if you do start to really write yourself as the hero in your story, and you think about how you're gamifying it, then together, I think we could come up with really interesting, innovative, dare I say crazy, but brilliant ways to hack this system. So what do I mean by that? So if I was going to build a country, I might look at something like, what are my energy sources? So here in New Hampshire, we do have a lot of water. We actually do have a fair amount of hydroelectric plants. Our electricity is some of the most expensive in the United States, and I think that has to do with corruption in the Senate, although I can't prove it. If you're a journalist and you would like to help me maybe start to sniff around that story a little more, that's the kind of stuff I want to do, right? So when I talk about how we gamify our lives and what the opportunities are in New Hampshire, I'm also saying when you're like reflecting for yourself, be like, what am I passionate about? When I moved here, I'm passionate about a lot of things and I'm actually surprisingly good at a lot of them. And really my biggest problem is just trying to figure out I should do 3 things much better instead of doing 30 things Carla good, you know? So we all face our challenges, but I know we need energy. But I also know in order to introduce energy, we have to know what the facts are about why it's currently so expensive. But then also, in New Hampshire, we have a nuclear reactor. Seabrook, which is now known as NextGen, supplies almost 25% of the Eastern Seaboard's energy, which is why I'm like, why is our energy expensive? So, again, someone can help me figure that out. So we have a nuclear plant. That means we can be energy independent. We also somehow managed to sneak in an extension to a license to build a second reactor. Now think about that. There's actually a second staging site was built back in the 70s. I don't know if it still holds. We would have to look at all of that. But for nerds who are into this, right, we know third, fourth gen nuclear. We can use depleted uranium. You can make clean, green energy. If we have a lot of cheap energy, that makes us a viable country. It also makes us a very viable crypto capital of the world, because then screw you, Iceland, you can run them off volcanic power and we'll run them off fourth gen recycling war, weapons of war, bullets and stuff, and we'll run our nuclear off that. So, you know, so that's one of the things I'm looking at. So, if anyone knows someone who's in nuclear who wants to come build me a nuclear plant, please do let me know. Another thing in New Hampshire, the biggest industry really is tourism. So I believe tourism is actually innately libertarian. What do I mean by that? Tourism, when done right, involves property rights, keeping your property rights good, and good customer service. Right? And these are sort of the things we believe in. We think you should have your own stuff. You should take care of it. Well, I believe that. Maybe not everyone does, but why have it if you're not going to take care of it? And be nice or be decent or be polite to other people, right? Like, this seems like a good way to navigate through the earth. So New Hampshire's tourism industry is actually inherently libertarian. So what's currently happening, much here as anywhere else in the States, the boomers are retiring and they own cash-rich businesses. I'm talking laundromats and, you know, gun stores and like all these sort of mom and pop stores. And the parents aren't The kids don't want the businesses, and the parents aren't selling them. What they're doing is they're just closing down these businesses. So I think if we can figure out a way to sort of grasp these opportunities that are happening in New Hampshire and putting it together with people who are eager to move here who might be like, oh, I didn't know about that, because a lot of things in New Hampshire are word of mouth. Like you can find it on eBay. In fact, I talked to someone who just found his roommate in Manchester because he'd put his room out and he had a trick question, which was, what's your favorite Rothbard quote? But it was just a normal thing, and that was like the last question, and he literally caught a freestater with that. So it was a guy who had just moved. So I thought that was kind of cute. So here in New Hampshire, there are a lot of these businesses that are starting to turn over. And there's also this cool little thing where it's like, it's very quaintly 50s here. So when I'm gamifying my New Hampshire, somehow the whole state is just this like 50s pin-up world, you know, so rich libertarians who want to taste a little bit of freedom come here and they spend all their money and their goldbacks and their crypto in New Hampshire with our libertarian businesses because that's what we're building. So that's kind of where I want to be going. But I also want to figure out what are the next practical steps to get us there. I have a lot of great ideas, but I'd like to start implementing some of them better. We have a lot of people power here now, but we've got to do a better job. One of the things I really think we should be doing a better job of is broadcasting and making more better content. So I'm going to assume almost everyone here has seen the NBC series, although I did talk to some people earlier who hadn't. So for the sake of those few people, NBC Boston came to Porkfest last year and then followed us around for about 6.5 months. They made a docuseries that's 13 episodes long. The episodes are only about 15 minutes each. They're available online, and they're actually balanced, and I might even say slightly favorable to Free Staters. Now, I don't know, because I watch it through a certain lens. I did send it to my aunt and uncle in Canada, and they were like, that's what you're doing. I was like, yeah! I think it's the guns for a lot of people, right? That can sometimes be a thing to wrap your head around. So this NBC series turned out to be pretty great. And they're back here, and they're actually back. They're going to be doing a panel discussion and talking about the whole thing. But I didn't realize it at the time, but then Dan, one of the cameramen, mentioned was what made the series so successful is they let us speak in our own words. So you'll notice, maybe you didn't notice it, or maybe you clearly did notice it, but the entire series, there's no voiceovers, no one's telling you what to think. It's literally every person on screen is speaking in their own words. And I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting. So it felt less biased. But as the series started to come out, the number one thing I was hearing as we were talking about it in the community was, wow, that was actually like really good. Thank God. Oh, thank God, that wasn't terrible. Oh, you know, and people be like, oh, I'm so glad. You know, I was really worried this was going to come out, but this came out instead. So, of course, I was like, what's season 2 going to look like? But they assure me that's not going to happen. So as people were saying that, you know, sometimes I'm slow, I was like, why do we keep waiting for other people to tell our story? And why do we keep waiting for other people to make good content about our ideas? And why are we waiting for other people to get the stank off our brand? And I don't really mean Free Stater brand. Here I'm talking like straight up libertarians. We got a stank on our brand. And let me explain how and how we can fix it. So I have a good friend. We went to see them in Thanksgiving in Costa Rica. And actually, it's the first person I heard the words libertarian from. And we were walking on the beach, and he was schooling me. And I don't like that, but, you know, I'll take it from time to time. And he was like, well, you know, you should have said this in the thing, or you should have said that, and you should have blah, blah, blah. You know, we're the choice movement. You should talk more about taxes, whatever, right? And I was like, okay, first of all, so do you think in the, I don't know, 30 hours that they interviewed me, those things never came up? I mean, I talk about those things first. I like to lead with them. We're the choice movement. We're the consent movement. We're the voluntary movement. I mean, we're the cool people who are like, you know what? We're grown-ups and we can navigate these things without hurting each other. It's not complex, right? And so he was telling me all these things. And so I said, hey, but like, so when you tell people you're libertarian, how do you frame it? And he looks at me and he goes, oh, I don't tell anyone I'm libertarian anymore. And I was like, so you're a successful businessman who owns a factory, who pays above local rates because you don't think you should exploit your workers. You do all these cool things. You're putting all these people through college. You're doing all the things that would reflect extremely well on the brand. But because you're going to let someone else own that brand or manage that brand or say something you don't like. So here's the magic, folks. The only way you counter bad speech is with better speech. So when you see people saying things, it's not that we have to argue about the new, like the numbnuts nuances that we get caught in all the time. It's an issue of coming up with messaging that is repetitive in a way that makes it understandable. I know years ago people were like, with Trump, I think it was on the stage, I actually said Trump's gifts to America are going to be the terms fake news and deep state. Because if you can take a complex idea and turn it into two words, you've actually created powerful messaging that we can then take and ride. And so last year, thanks to the Free the People folks, Matt and Terry Kibbe, who've been wonderful supporters to us over the years, and everyone should go hang at their hub, they're doing lots of interviews, all of that. It was them who took the slogan, which I think they heard here at Porkfest, and it's don't hurt people, and don't take their stuff, right? Don't take their stuff, don't hurt people. I forget the order now. But in the clips from NBC, it was the first time where someone was able to edit together like 10 people saying this. I can't believe I flubbed that line, that's funny. 10 people saying the same thing in the right order at the same time. That is successful messaging. So what we have to start to do is we have to look for those, live free or die. That's a great slogan, man. It doesn't get better than that. But I will tell you, it does not play well in a pandemic. You go to the state house and no one's got masks on and you're already getting death threats and like 400 people are like, live free or die. And it was the first one. And I was like, oh shit, how do you pivot this energy, because you want that energy, but I don't want to die. I want to thrive, and I want everyone I know to thrive. And I was like, oh, let's make it live free and thrive. And I was like, yeah, positive message. That lasted 2 weeks. Then all the old guard let me know if you're a real Granite Stater or a good New Hampshire man. You don't mess around with the logo or the slogan because, you know, it's their thing. So I do always now say both of them because I do think live free or die, death is not the worst of evils, does encapsulate our notions. But live free and thrive actually also does that, right? And it's just that spin that then is positive, aspirational, and kind of makes you want to move towards something great. So when we think about these practical steps and we think about the NBC thing and making better content, part of this conversation today is supposed to be sort of what is the vision for the movement, what is the vision for the organization. So the Free State Project at the moment has two paid staff members. Chris Lopez, who everyone's probably met by this stage, she's sort of our onboarding person. She'll collect you when it's starting out and then bring you out here and sort of help you land on your feet. And then we hand her off to Rebecca Robin, who then is like the in-state director. So it took us about 15 years to get the in-state director part because, yes, the mission of the Free State Project, which is different to the Free State Movement, and we like to make this distinction because the project itself is a 501c3, it is an educational nonprofit, and it's exactly for that reason, tax-free donations, educational, let's make content that can persuade people to move, both to move, but here's the slightly controversial part, and it circles back to the gamification idea, is, and the holistic idea, is that we, I just brain farted. Where was I? It's a test. Who was listening? Gamification. From the movement. Okay, I'll just go with that. Sorry, I was looking outside at the grass. And I swear, I'm waiting to take my cookie. the gamification and the holisticness. So the idea is, yes, we as the organization want people to move here, and that's the mission of the organization, so we should be creating content to move people here. But the siren call for that can be to also be persuading our friends and neighbors in New Hampshire that if they have to start picking a team, they want to pick Team Free Stater. And really, in the end, what does that mean? That literally means you're picking individuals. You know, when I talked about post-party politics at the start, that's what I mean. If we can persuade people the parties don't matter, because in my opinion, they really don't, and that people matter and individuals matter and what the message of that person is matters, then we are actually moving closer to our philosophy. So an idea to create content would be something like Bill Barger, Tall Bill, who will be doing the comedy here tonight. He and I have been scoping out some like 15-minute YouTube episodes, and we want to call the show New Hampshire is Awesome. And just as a start, go to all the hundreds of nano breweries that exist in New Hampshire, because Free Staters, way back before anyone knew we were here, passed some laws to make it really easy to start your own brewery in New Hampshire. So we don't even have to do anything other than go to like Woodstock Brewery and be like, yo, you want to talk about your cool business? And then you can make the, you know, you can take the credit behind the scenes or not even take it. But what you've now done is you've created an ally. You've actually created someone who wants to show the content about his awesome business to his friends in his area. I also want to start to do road shows across the state, which we can film, where we can show the NBC series, we can have panelists, and we can bring the people out to come ask us questions. Why does that matter? Because in 10 years, if we want to be winning, then everyone in this room has to know how to do a stump speech. You have to know how to sell yourself. You have to have skills, and skills take time to develop. You know, here's a hard truth. You can fake it till you make it, but you can't fake skills. So, you know, you can be training and learning and working to become better and stronger and skinnier, less boozier, like pick your whatever, right? But you can't fake skills. And if we want to win New Hampshire, then we have to level up, to use a little gamification language. We don't all have to be good at everything, but we all have to pick some stuff and start getting better at it. So if you're an activist, and honestly, I think that every Free Stater is an activist in some way, because again, circling back to the true words of human action, I mean literally, you're doing things, you're navigating through time and space, and this is your one shot, so like, make it count. So coming here and joining this movement automatically gives you a purpose. And then you can go, I really love guns, or like Steve Ness with the Independence Inn and a really fine eatery that he's opened that's farm to table, that is his values. He's like, I love being, like, I want Free Staters to come stay at my hotel. I want locals to come eat at my restaurant, right? So he came with a purpose, and he's building that out. And I think for each and every one of us, we can do that. But we have to take what we're doing seriously. And I want to see more of us in real life, in meat space. People are, to quote Scott Adams to me, cunts on the internet, because he called me a cunt amongst twats and idiots and no one will fuck me, which is not true. But people are very, very rude on the internet, and we're wasting our time. Time is literally the only asset we have. How you spend your time should be spent mindfully. Like, all of us, when I say level up, have to be looking at things like, how healthy are you? What are you putting into your body? Are you getting enough vitamin D? We know with COVID, it's literally the people who died were people who didn't exercise and who didn't go in the sun. That's pretty much the real number of people who died, and they probably would have died anyway. And we can fix that. Like, I want this movement to be like faster, stronger, better than anything else, because we can. We know we're smarter. So we have a leg up. So we really need to try and take what we're doing, and each of you, because I can't do it for you, you need to go find that thing, and then we should figure out together how we can do it. So we're going to need more tech people. I think we should start having leaderboards. I want to build an entirely alternate government. So the lady from the Boston Globe came and interviewed me. I mean, she's probably some sort of asset. And she was asking really good questions. She was not stupid. I kind of wished I hadn't eaten the cookie. I didn't. I'd be very responsible. But after this, tonight. So she had asked a question about something about democracy. And I was just like, yeah, democracy's stupid. What is 51% of people get to tell 51% of people what to do, and then you make the stakes so hectic, and it's this binary thing, and people are just, it's exhausting. Who wants to live like that, you know? Because it's literally like we're going, it's wrong, it's right, it's right, it's right, it's wrong, wrong. Like, it's just, it doesn't make sense, right? Like, you're like, these 2 years, this is legal. These 2 years, it's illegal. It's like, that's not sensible, in my opinion. So she asked about democracy, and then later her question, which is the reason she had really come to speak to us, was, she phrased it this way, which I did like. She said, when you secede, is it going to be through a referendum or voting process, or will it just be an insurrection? So I looked at her and I said, well, how do you think I'm going to answer that question? I was like, clearly it's going to be electoral. But I think it should. Like, I do think you want your neighbors on board, right? But then I said to her, and then she said, of course, well, if it's going to be a vote, then you just said democracy's stupid, so you're just another hypocrite, so. And I was like, no, you don't understand. You can't spring something too hardcore on people, like, too much, right? It just makes our heads explode. But people understand democracy. So I would like us to move towards persuading our neighbors that independence is the way to go. And after that, I want to make sure that we actually have enough poly systems in place that it makes sense. And here's an example. I always say government, there's an app for that. And people go, huh? And I'm like, anything government's doing that is marginally useful, someone will pay for and someone will do. We still get the roads plowed, and there's no reason why those people should be getting government pensions, right? You could just have an Uber plow guy who you call and you just pay him for the services. You could have the Momo's lady just doing her own DoorDash from her kitchen, right? So those are like real lifestyle things, but we also need to be thinking about the political things and the things that government either needs to do or doesn't need to do, or how we want to hack it. So by way of example, a hack between now and my tenure, it's not a plan, because if you don't have a plan, they can't catch you. So in my gamified world, the hypothetical we have created here today, where we are imagining what these things would look like. Where was I? Oh, God. Is it time yet? Oh, I'll take questions. Okay, let me just finish this thought. So it was practical stuff. The leaderboard. We're going to make our own propaganda. So this is a pivot for the Free State Project. I think we should start to use our social media platforms more effectively. I think we should be creating more content. I would like us to almost become a broadcast organization that is really helping to push out content from New Hampshire, both to attract like-minded people here, but also to motivate people while we are slowly but surely taking over the state in a beautiful and nonviolent, voluntary way by talking to our neighbors about the things we all care about. So I'm going to leave you with this, because maybe we can name my game, all right? So over the years, we've had lots of names for what we're trying to do. I remember one time, and I think it was when we were going to war in the Middle East, because I've been doing this stuff so long. I said, we're building a Mecca. And a whole bunch of people let me know after my speech they did not like that word. And I was like, whoa, okay. So over the years, I've been like, huh. It's a hotspot, a kernel, the beacon of light, the beacon of liberty. Like, you know, there have been all these names. And then the wonderful Dennis Pratt came up with Libertarian Homeland. And I can't lie, man. I've told you guys how I feel about marketing. You know, I like putting the shine on the shit. And and I was like, homeland, like for libertarians, like that just really rubbed me up the wrong way. And then I was like, ooh, but could it be a motherland? Would I like that more? And I was like, yeah, I probably would, but that seems a little hypocritical. Then for a while, I was kind of joking around with the idea of the Ark. And the idea there was just simply that I had seen a meme that had like three monkeys. And the meme said something like, never fight until it's time to board the ark, and it's starting to rain, and you just see the three monkeys are just like scoping it out, right? So we had ark. Then the other day, I was like, oh, what about Shangri-La? I was like, that sounds kind of sexy and cool. And the person I said it to, who was, you know, 20, 30 years younger than me, was like, what's that? And I was like, okay, we got to cross that one off the list. So I, you know, colony, I don't like that. People will say we're colonizers. You know, someone has to be. I see us as reinforcement, really, for everything else. But then when I was, unbelievably, actually, there are notes, even though this is the way it is. I have Playland here. And I was like, oh, I kind of like that one. Now, I'm not saying we're building our libertarian Playland, but I'm saying I'm going to call the game where I'm the queen Playland. And I want to invite everyone to join the game, figure out what your piece is. You know, people are always like, are you serious about the queen stuff? And I'm like, not really, but I also am philosophically pure enough to say that I'm a queen who believes in benign neglect and regicide if I break my promise. So I'm going to leave you alone if you're going to leave me alone, because I'm going to assume if I don't leave you alone, you're going to let me know in a way that's not going to be favorable to me. So that's sort of my life philosophy. I would encourage all of you to think what the game is for you, and in that game, for the freedom of humans, for the freedom of New Hampshire, and the freedom of all of us and the people who will come after. So thank you guys for joining our movement or checking it out and for being here. I'll be around, and I think we have like 15 minutes for questions. We got 5 minutes for questions, two questions. Thanks, guys.
Hello?
Hi.
Okay, so can you talk about how it came to be that the statement of intent disappeared from the website?
The statement of intent did disappear from the website. I was not actively involved in that decision because we have an all-volunteer tech team, and we spun up a new website maybe like 2 or 3 months ago. We're in discussions, because I'm not sure personally if that's the way to go, because to me it feels like now the website's really just a sales funnel, you know, that's collecting people, which we do put through, you know, a CRM and a drip campaign, and people get emails, and, you know, we're trying to be a little more professional than we have been over the years as we grow, but It's a little in flux at the moment. I think my preference is for it to come back, but maybe we'll see. But good question. And the statement of intent, for people who may not know, is just a short little intent, and it basically says you'll move to New Hampshire and exert your fullest practical effort, which would be the real name of the game, but that's not sexy at all. I mean, Playland's at least better than that. Next question.
You could make those same arguments in favor of the Free State Project to pick a county as well and have a lot more influence in that particular county. And has that been considered? And if so, it hasn't been done. So why hasn't it been done? What were the arguments against?
Oh, why hasn't it been done? Because you clearly haven't come and done it yet. As to the other part of that, obviously, I mean, I do think that concentration, in its truest sense of the word, right, we're a mass migration movement and we're concentrating in one place. And it is a question we get a lot, which is, should we go to one city, one town, one county, or whatever? So when I'm feeling really cocky and the journalists ask me that one, they're like, why don't you guys just concentrate in like one town or one county? I'm like, because I think I can take a state. I mean, 1.2 million people is a reasonable size. If we actually all got off our asses, we could run a campaign. Now, you know, people thought I was crazy for suggesting RFK and really pushing to make that happen and to bring him here. Not just, you know, I'm very anti-vax, and I could give you a lot of scientific reasons why. I'll just say one out of every 36 children in America now has autism, so it's got to be something, and that's probably a part of it. But I think 1.2 million people is something we can do, and the reason I brought RFK is I want to learn how to do a statewide race with someone who has resources, whose values are at least partially aligned with my own, and whose message appeals across party lines and predominantly to independents. Because in New Hampshire, the largest group of voters are not Republicans or Democrats. I think the Democrats is like at 28 or 29%, and the Republicans are at 23% that are card-carrying members. That whole middle chunk, I'm like, maybe in my free time, I'll start a party called the Independent or Independence Party and claim the 55% of the middle voters for us. Because I think we need to start thinking like winners, not like whiners. Like, it's a mindset. And if you walk out of here and you go, not why didn't someone, how did I further freedom today? You've got to put you in the story. No one else is going to do it. You have to move, and you have to come build the future that you want. I'm building mine, and I'm really happy you guys are, you know, along for the ride, but I want to see each and every Free Stater live free and thrive. Thank you.